By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Well, one of the blessings of our recent vacation and time away up at our place at Lake Louise was the opportunity to renew our connection with Terry's uncle, Phil, and his wife, Terry's aunt, Ginny. Phil is Terry's father's brother, and he and Ginny occupy the cottage right next to ours. And due to Terry's illness last year and Ginny's illness the year before, it had been some time since we had been able to be with them. We love being with them. In keeping with the mysterious way in which God puts families together, Phil and Terry's father, Harold, whom you know, are immediately recognizable as brothers. They both bear the ears that distinguish them as Niles men. And at the same time, they both bear unique traits of personality, expertise, and interests that make our coming together on this yearly basis exciting and interesting. Let me explain. Terry's father, Harold, is Phil's senior by 7 years. Now, in his advanced age, at age 89, he has been robbed, my father-in-law, that is, Harold, whom you know, has been robbed of many of the skills and capacities that he once possessed. But they are still talents to be celebrated and remembered, and that made him who he was, who he is yet. Harold possesses a gift for things mechanical, always has. Like members of this congregation that I admire very much, my father-in-law is a man of magical hands and patience who once could take a blank of wood and fashion it into anything needed or imagined. He never met a machine he could not fix, a motor he could not tune, or a structure he could not build. In the nearly 37 years since I have come into this family, he has taught me much and contributed greatly to my own sense of ability and independence. And I love him for all of that and for very much more. Now, Terry's Uncle Phil, Harold's brother, is a man of different talents. He is a retired chemical engineer who ended his career as, head of chemical research at ARCO. But in the practical mechanics of daily living, he is the first one to call for help. Over the years, family jokes have all evolved at Phil's expense. They pertain to Phil's reluctance to do the job himself and his readiness to call a repairman. Phil, you see, is the reader and the thinker in that family. While Terry's dad plays computer solitaire all day long, Phil studies his lesson plan for the adult Sunday school class he only recently had to give up after over 40 years of teaching at First United Methodist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But both Phil and Harold, my father-in-law, are men of faith. Both have made Christianity the central focus of their lives. Both of them live lives that honor God and their parents, especially their father, who was a Methodist clergyman and president of Iowa Wesleyan University. The difference between them is one of vocabulary. Phil is a man with a highly developed vocabulary of faith. He speaks about it easily. He is articulate when those times come. A few years ago, Phil handed Terry a 3-ring binder containing his own 37-page statement of faith entitled, I Believe. It is an inviting and engaging statement of personal belief, giving witness to a Christian life that goes beyond religious cliche and comes directly out, I think, of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Although Uncle Phil draws more conservative theological conclusions than would I, his credo reveals openness to a variety of ways, to the variety of ways that God is known in the human heart. Consider his closing statement, I quote, I have written this composition out of a desire to put on paper a summary of my religious beliefs. I have assembled this work as a means of identifying and clarifying my beliefs. I have not done it with a desire to publish or to distribute it beyond that group of family and close friends. I believe in God. I believe that my God is lovingly expressed in the person of Jesus Christ. I believe that that God is my source of redemption, wisdom, and strength, and eternal life. And I hope and I pray that I will so live my life that others might see the Christ in me. Here is my point. The vocabulary of faith that Phil exhibits so well is desperately needed in today's world. Now, I do not question for a minute the depth of Christian commitment that exists in the United Methodist Church today. I believe that the people that make up today's church are every bit as committed to Jesus Christ as in years past. What I do question is our ability to our willingness to articulate that faith to a world that has grown increasingly resistant to things of spirit and faith. Those who proclaim themselves, I should say, many who proclaim themselves the voice of the Christian church, seem to me to be predominantly strident, exclusionary, and intolerant of the very real life questions that hurting people want and need to place upon the altar of God. We have a more liberal heart, Christian heart, have somehow, in all of this, lost our voice. We seem to possess no alternative faith vocabulary. Perhaps we fear that in speaking, the world will lump us in the same basket with those whose message we cannot abide. We must regain our voice. We have more to say to the world than, this is a pretty church, or we come to church because our friends are here. Now, I too like a pretty church, and I too have many friends in the church, but such admonitions will do little to open a troubled heart to the love of God. By renewing our vocabulary of faith, I mean renewing our ability to articulate the love of God to others in ways that do not require a presumed Christian foundation. Because we live in a world that does not speak the language of faith. This world speaks the language of achievement. It speaks the language of competition. It speaks the language of blame. It is fluent in the language of self-indulgence. But sooner or later, life presents something that cannot be understood in any of those languages, and that is the moment of opportunity for the church. Will we have a voice in that moment? I think we can, if together we will work on renewing our vocabulary of faith. And part of this renewal must begin in our own hearts. Years ago, someone asked me what I thought was the greatest challenge facing our church, speaking in general now, not this congregation. And I was new in the ministry at the time, and I had been confronted by something I didn't expect. It seemed to me that the church I was serving at the time had adopted a mission for itself that I felt was unworthy of the church and those calling themselves Christians. That their mission had become being consumers of pastoral attention. And that is not a worthy mission for the church. As members of a congregation, are we each limited to being consumers of the church's attention, or are we part of the collective voice of the church? Do we have something to proclaim? Or are we limited to making requests of the church? Churches grow when they have something to offer the world, and they die when the life of the congregation has become a chaplaincy to one another. And I pray that you understand what I'm saying today. I believe in compassion, and I believe that we should care for one another in love. But the central focus of the church is to proclaim the love of Jesus Christ and to live that out within the communities where we reside. The story of how God has acted in your life and in my life is important for others to hear. Knowing ourselves to be an integral part of God's creation is important to realize. Having the ability to reflect spiritually upon the events of our lives and to see God's hand in even the most difficult of things can change us from consumers to providers. Every year at camp, we meet in the evenings at the fire bowl. It is one of my favorite moments of the entire day. And every year, I find an opportunity to say something like this to the kids who are gathered there for evening vespers. It is not my desire that you be trained to think the right thoughts about God. It is my desire that you open your heart and your eyes to the presence of God in your life and learn to live in union with that love. And then be able to share it with others. I believe this is what the world needs, and I believe it is what we have to offer. There are stories of faith in this community that will move even the most reluctant heart. We must offer not condemnation, not unexamined and unquestioned belief in unbelievable things, not rigid compliance to a set of rules, but life lived in the embrace of God's love, life understood as a gift and a blessing, life in which the hand of God is seen in every moment, life shared and celebrated through a vocabulary of faith. So this summer, we were blessed to renew our connection to Terry's Uncle Phil. And to remember that gift he gave us a couple of years ago, that gift of a book in which he had written his credo, entitled, I Believe. He is a man with a tremendous vocabulary of faith, and in using it has helped countless people to find God. May we be so blessed to speak our own hearts and to live in league with God's love. Thanks be to God.